Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Road to Cheltenham preview special. It's the eve of the Cheltenham Festival, so what better time to look ahead to the 4 days of live action that we will be bringing you live here on Racing TV. We've got Tuesday's declarations. By the end of the show, we'll have Wednesday's. We'll also be looking ahead to Thursday and Friday and picking out the key items of information that we believe you need in order to unpick all of the races, all 28 of which we will be bringing you live here on Racing TV. As last year for the Road to Cheltenham preview show, we have swelled our numbers by one. Nick Luck has joined us and will provide analysis along with the rest of the team. But in order to fit in with Cheltenham's strict COVID protocols, we've had to rejig our roles slightly. And that means that Ruby Walsh is out on the track. He'll be conducting interviews. He's based with all the Irish runners. He's been riding out with the Willie Mullins team today, and he'll be bringing us up to date with all of the Irish contenders' latest thoughts. And don't worry, he'll still be chipping in to the analysis and pointing out where Nick and I have gone wrong. Ruby.
Yeah, thanks, Lydia. I am trackside. Willie Mullins' string have just gone by me. That is Asterion Farange, who I think will run in the Marsh Chase on Thursday. He hasn't been declared in tomorrow's RSA, so that's where he's going. Ganapatee is in front of him, most likely going towards the County Hurdle. And in front of that is the big hope in the Ballymore and Novices Hurdle, Galliard and Mesnil. As you said, Lydia, bit of role reversal. I'm down here trackside, going to do a few interviews. A little ironic when we have yourself and Nick Luck, but they are the regulations we're under, and Nick Luck is in the parade ring trying to do what I was supposed to do.
And probably not do it terribly well, Ruby. You and Lydia have trodden this path to the Cheltenham Festival and have done so with great care and consideration over the last few months. And I'm like the hitchhiker you've just picked up in Birdlip on the way down here. But I'm very happy to be joining you to set the stage for what still, even with nobody here over the next 4 days, are the finest four in all of National Hunt Racing. This is the ultimate theatre, and there is no room for understatement. Let the games begin.
They're off. The Unibet champion hurdle of 2020. The final flight, Epatant jumps to the front. Epatant is in front, and she's not for catching. Epatant takes the champion hurdle.
Look at that, he's absolutely pumped.
A jumping exhibition from Palitolo. He's run them ragged this afternoon. The champion chases Palitolo.
Well, that is an extraordinary Queen Mother champion chase.
Min picks up the big, big jump.
Min is hanging on grimly to win the Ryanair.
No one would begrudge Min his hour of glory.
The final flight, and Listlinger Oscar has taken the stayers' hurdle.
Pick your jaw from the floor.
The flight is a lot.
Albert Foto, back to back Gold Cup. Albert Foto, the eighth football winner of the Cheltenham Gold Cup.
It's been a great one.
I am buzzing.
Well, it's going to be a very different Cheltenham Festival this year, but one thing remains the same, and that is the top-class racing from start to finish. Unfortunately, we've just had news that another thing remains the same, and that is that Altior will not be running. He is out of the Betway Queen Mother Champion Chase tomorrow. He coughed after exercise this morning. He's been scoped, and trainer Nicky Henderson has said that from what that scope has told them, he doesn't think it's wise to go ahead tomorrow. So it's a real shame, Nick. We're without Altior yet again.
Such a shame. You really do feel for the owners, Pat and Christopher Pugh and Nicky Henson and all the team at Seven Barrows. There was such a growing sense of optimism that the horse could be back to his best, particularly with the application of cheek pieces. But for the second consecutive year, as you say, Lydia, it is not to be. And that is now four major Grade 1 engagements, at least, that Altior has missed unexpectedly. Two editions of the Queen Mother Champion Chase, two editions of the Tingle Creek. It's a bitter irony that this should have been the case over the last couple of seasons, when through his first 4 or 5 years in training, Altior never missed a beat and danced every dance that was required of him. We can but hope now at the age of 11 that he gets one or two last hurrahs, perhaps this season, perhaps at Aintree, perhaps at Punchestown, who knows. But Altior will not take his chance in the Champion Chase on Wednesday, which will shorten up Chacun Pourceaux even more. Let's hope he makes it there this time.
Yes, absolutely. He was pulled out in the morning of the race last year with a foot abscess. We've already had Time Hill and Enigamin exiting stage left last week. Let's hope that we don't have any other big bad news to bring you over the coming few days. Other news news. There's been 12 millimetres of rain unexpectedly overnight, Nick.
Yeah, yesterday Simon Clay said there may be some rain in the afternoon, which he quite welcomed because he was worried about the ground quickening up a little more than anticipated for tomorrow. But he needn't worry. It's probably done him a favour, in truth. 12 mils overnight. That means as we stand here now in relatively pleasant spring sunshine, though you sense it's slightly changeable weather, the going is a mixture of soft and good to soft on the old course. So those of you who'd factored in proper top of the ground, good ground horses yesterday for tomorrow's racing, you might want to have a little bit of a rethink.
You might well indeed. Now, if you can hear contractor noise in the background, that's going to be inevitable. The final touches are still being put to the Cheltenham Festival at the moment. There's some mowing, a leaf blowing going on over there on the far side of the paddock. Inevitable during the course of this live show. But let's head out onto the track and join Ruby.
Yeah, hi Lydia, thanks very much. I'm out here on the track as Nick and Lydia were discussing about the rainfall yesterday. 12 mils overnight, and it has definitely gotten into the ground. There's no doubt about that, but the sun is shining right up behind us today, and who knows what will happen all day. But if you look down the track and you look by the wing of the last fence and you see the ground, how fresh that grass is, that inside 2.5 sections of hurdles is all fresh ground that's been kept for the festival. Outside that, just around about here, you're onto ground that was used early in the winter. So there will be a skirmish to get on that inside ground. Only 8 runners in the Supreme will be a help, only 10 or 11 in the Champion Hurdle. They should all be able to find their way onto it. But it will pay to be on the far side of Cheltenham. I know people often see horses come and stand side here. I don't think you'll see too many come and stand side with the amount of fresh ground Cheltenham have managed to keep on the inside. Track looks great, Lydia. Only 8 in the Supreme. That's a bit of a surprise. What do you guys think?
Yeah, it's really cut up, the Supreme. 8 runners. I think it's the smallest field in its history, and not many British contenders full stop in our opening few races, Nick.
Not at all. There are just 12 horses trained in Great Britain combined in those first 3 Grade 1s, the Supreme Novices, the Arkle, and then the Champion Hurdle. As for the Supreme Novices, that's quite hard to fathom because you only get one chance to be a novice hurdler. Sure, as horses go through the grades, you expect the pyramid to start slimming out toward the top and to be broader at the bottom. But you want there to be 16, 18, 20 runners in a Supreme Novice Hurdle, ideally, because who knows the rate at which these horses can still improve. Have trainers simply got too good? Have they simply got too efficient? Are there too many handicap options for some of these novice horses? Ruby was saying at the top of the show, horse like Ganapati looking to one of the handicaps later in the week. That's got to be one reason. The other reason clearly has got to be the COVID situation we're in. You've heard a lot of trainers say it in recent weeks, Lydia. No place for social runners at this year's Cheltenham Festival because there's not going to be any socialising.
No, exactly. And also there's an impact of Brexit as well on foreign train runners. Right, let's get on with the first day, shall we? We'll start with the Unibet Champion Hurdle. Let's have a look at the betting first off. And Honeysuckle is the 5-2 favourite. Epitar next at 7-2. 4-1 Goshen. It's 8-1 upwards to the rest. But we're going to break up from this to go and join Ruby.
Yeah, I've been joined here by Henry de Bromhead, trackside on the eve of the Champion Hurdle. Henry, big day for Honeysuckle tomorrow. You must be looking forward to it.
Absolutely, yeah. She seems to have travelled over well, and Coleman's delighted with her, so we're happy.
10 mil of rain overnight, probably a bonus for you.
Yeah, it's probably a help. I mean, once the ground is safe jumping ground, I'll be happy, yeah.
Plenty of pace in the race should really suit her. Her jumping has got better. To me, she looked better than ever in Leopardstown in her last start. Would you agree? Do you think she's a bit better?
Yeah, she seems to. I mean, look, she's always looked pretty good to me. Obviously, her first run back this year, she probably needed it a bit. But yeah, she looked great at Leopardstown and, you know, delighted with her.
You've plenty of runners on the card as well. We just touch on the arc for a second as well. Captain Guinness, no Enner Gourmet. He'd have to improve on that form, but to me, hasn't quite scaled the heights I thought he was, or would. Has he improved any little bit?
Sorry, my phone's going mad here. We're hopeful better ground will make a big difference to him. Like the ground at Nace, he was very good first day in Punchestown. Ground at Nace was bottomless the second day, ran well. Sort of on our line with Energamine, we were hoping we'd improve plenty for better ground, and maybe he wouldn't. Look, he seems in great form, and he was a bit unlucky in Leopardstown. Seems to have learnt from that, jumping really well since. So, look, we'll give it a rattle and see how we go.
You've inherited a few big names to go with it, Envoy Allen and Quilixius. Are you happy with them both? Short period of time, probably hard to judge them.
Yeah, it would be. But all I can say is they came down looking fantastic from Gordon's, and they seem to have settled in fine with us. Neither are here yet. They're travelling today. Bally Adam is here, and he seems great.
He runs in the first, as does Irascible. Are you hopeful one of them could get in the money?
Absolutely, if not both. Yeah, their form sort of ties in closely together. They're a little bit behind Appreciate It, but different day and different track. We'll see how we go.
I can't let you go without mentioning the Gold Cup. A Plutar, Manila Indo, two big horses to run in the race. I'm a Plutar fan. You in that camp yourself? Probably hard to put you on the spot, but I am.
I'm in both their camps. You know, there's good cases to be made for both. Obviously, Aplutard was brilliant in the Savills Chase, and we've tried to keep him fresh for here. And Indo wasn't so good in that, but his form is he's like a different horse when he gets here. He's so laid back and everything, and he just comes alive when he's here. So he loves it over here. We know he'll stay the trip, and he's in mighty form as well.
Well, that's a big wish. I wish you the best of luck, Lydia. Back to you.
Thanks to Henry de Bromhead. We'll be talking about his runners in the Champion Hurdle in a moment. But news just in, Annie Mack misses the Mrs. Paddy Power Mare's Chase, the new race on the Friday, the Grade 2. She's had a setback and does not go. So that's a blow for the British-based runners in that race. Right, let's switch to the Champion Hurdle. We've just heard from Henry de Bromhead, who of course has Honeysuckle and Aspire Tower. Nick, in terms of pace, how much of a different test is this going to be for Honeysuckle compared to what she's done previously?
Quite a significant test. I think it'll be her sharpest test to date. Though having said that, last year when she won the Irish Champion Hurdle, and it was run on quite quick ground at Leopardstown, she recorded a time of 3:49.40. So she can do it. It's just that most of her best form has been over a stiffer 2 miles, a stiffer test of stamina, or over 2.5. She is an Irish point-to-point winner, of course. But the feature of her win in this year's Irish Champion was her much slicker jumping.
Yes, she was much, much better. But this track, more akin to the new course, she's facing the tighter, turning, constantly old course. She's going to be taken along by not what so CP, full starts notwithstanding, Aspire Tower and Goshen. So this is going to be a proper test for her. She's going to have to hold her position at crucial times.
I'd be amazed if any horse tried to mix it with Goshen for the lead. He's going to be sent on. I think if they do that, it will be their folly, and the recent rain will have come in his favour. But of course, Honeysuckle's favour as well. It's just a question of how close she can be when they turn for home, I think.
And behind her there, she's got Abacadabra, Charger, Saldier. Do you see any of those making an impact here?
I think an increased test of stamina will play against Abacadabra, albeit that he wants to come from off a strong pace. I think there are stronger finishes in the race than him. And I wouldn't be looking beyond the front three as regards likely winners of the race, I don't think.
Don't you think Abacadabra is probably going to be ridden to hit the frame? Because that's going to advantage him. You know, that's the best way you can ride him anyway.
He probably will be. I thought he was given a beautiful ride last year by Davy Russell, who then gave himself a really hard time for hitting the front too soon. And he was beaten by a superstar horse in Shishkin in that eventful Supreme Novices Hurdle. I'm just not sure that he's quite got the class of one or two of those who are shorter in the market, and given the fact that there is a bit of an if and but about his resolution or his will to win, I'd happily leave him alone. I think Goshen's going to boss this race, Lydia.
Good, okay. And how about the track for him? He does adjust right, we know that. This is a tighter track, as I've just made the point for Honeysuckle, but he came down at the last in the Triumph.
Yeah, if it was right-handed and the ground was absolutely bottomless, I think he'd be unbeatable. But I still think he's got something of the freakish about him. We saw it in the Triumph last year when, let's face it, he still was, I don't know, a dozen plus lengths clear at the final flight, and he wasn't stopping. It was just such a weird incident, clipping his front hoof with that hind shoe, and we all know the rest. And they had issues with him, clearly, no doubt, between then and now. But Wincanton was brilliant. Every time Jamie Moore took a pull on the horse, he wanted to go faster. He could barely pull him up. You could quibble about the form, but he did beat the two horses behind him, who were both coming into the race in good form, by 22 and 38. But this is what we don't want to see, Lydia, him stuck in amongst horses and just spitting the dummy out.
Well, you were alluding to that in the way that you're anticipating the Goshen is going to be ridden. And in the Triumph last year, the three horses that were making the running, All Mankind, Goshen and Aspire Tower, they got a kick on the rest of the field, and he was able to have the space that the Moors have concluded he needs.
Yeah, I think he might get that space again, because I think it would just be folly for jockeys to try and get upsides him and worry him, and I don't think they'll have the pace to. I just think he's a very, very powerful galloper. There's no doubt that the rain last night has enhanced his chance, however.
Yes, that is going to help him no end. Ruby, what do you make of Goshen and how are you anticipating that he's going to be ridden?
I think they will hassle him, Nick. I'd be surprised if they don't. Not So Sleepy most certainly will. I don't think Rachel Blackmore will give any ground away on Honeysuckle. If she jumps and can go, she won't be taking her back. Silver Streak will line up to go forward, as will Aspire Tower. I think something most definitely will hassle him. And even in last year's Triumph, Aspire Tower was upside him and beside him early in the race. Now, Rachel Blackmore thinks, for whatever reason, that Aspire Tower didn't perform in last year's Triumph for him. So I think a fresher, stronger horse, Aspire Tower, could well hassle Goshen. But I think the ground definitely will suit Honeysuckle. Just Goshen jumping right. I hope Rachel doesn't get caught too much on Goshen's outside.
Ruby, I want to ask you about your win in this race on Faheen, because I watched it again the night before last. And I remember at the time thinking, why did they all give Ruby Walsh an easy lead on Faheen? And then I watched the race back again and I thought, there's horses there that are good horses that are flat out behind you. And they just couldn't go the pace you were going. And you just relentlessly ground them into submission. And I just wonder if Goshen's got a touch of the Faheens about him.
Nick, I didn't go that quick that early on Faheen, but there was no front runner in that race. There are three front runners in here. Aspire Tower is a confirmed front runner. So is Not So Sleepy. And Silver Streak was ridden that way the last time. But there was no other front runner. Willie Mullins was contemplating running Faheen in the Red Mills hurdle 4 weeks before the Champion hurdle because he had made all on his two previous starts so we could drop him in. And I had the discussion with him in the kitchen 4 weeks before the Champion Hurdle that there was no pace in the Champion Hurdle, that he would be making the run in the Champion Hurdle, and that's what happened. This is a completely different race. There are front runners in here. There was no other front runner in that contest.
Two key points there, I think, in terms of there is a chink in Goshen's armour and everybody knows what that is and that will be hassling him. And the other point, will Goshen get in the way of Honeysuckle by going out to his right? I think those two are fascinating tactical aspects. Also fascinating is what form is Epitant in? She, of course, won the Champion Hurdle easily this time last year. Sharja was much further behind. See him in last place at the moment. She was in the four of mid-division and she was really good this day.
She was really good. She jumped brilliantly. Everything you want about a Champion Hurdler. She had tactical speed and her comeback in the Fighting Fifth, you would have thought, well, there's going to be no barrier to dual success. And Nicky Henderson's won multiple Champion Hurdles with multiple horses. He knows how to bring them back. He knows how to bring them back off one poor run as well. There was something quite alarming, however, about her effort at Kempton, I thought, Lydia.
Yeah, I do agree with that. If you can compare it to this run here, where, apart from a mistake three out, she's really characteristically low and quick at her hurdles. She is facing a tougher race this time around, I think. It's much deeper. She's going to have to be just as good as this with her £7 allowance tomorrow. And when we saw her in the Fighting Fifth at Newcastle, again, she was very good. It was a steadily run race and she killed it dead very quickly. But then she went to the Christmas hurdle. She was throwing her head around in the preliminaries on the way to post. She made some uncharacteristic errors. And in a race that was changed around by the new tactics employed on Silver Streak, she just couldn't land a blow.
She couldn't. And the writing was on the wall from quite a long way out as well for Epiton. Look, here she is going down, just shaking her head around. Nicky Henderson suggesting maybe she was in season. Subsequently come to light there are a few issues with her back, which would explain a jump like that. Not her usual fluent self, rather bedsteading one or two of the hurdles. And her finishing effort, by her own standards, was a relatively tame one. On ground, it was probably a bit lively.
Yeah, what are you expecting, Ruby, from Epitant?
It's interesting listening to Barry Gersey last night. He thought last year that the one worry was the soft ground, that she would be a better filly on quicker ground. She's very quick. I thought her jumping was her strongest point last year. It definitely let her down in Kempton. The mistake at the third last, even at the first hurdle in Kempton, you see where her head shoots way up into the air. I thought leaving last year, she would be the one to beat again this year. But after watching her in Kempton, I have doubts as well. And she got herself into a bit of a strop in the parade ring. She was very fractious leaving the parade ring to go out onto the track in Kempton. There was no crowd, no atmosphere. You wonder what was at her. It can't have been the buzz of the place. She had coped with a full Cheltenham 9 months before that. So, look, we'll have to see her tomorrow, but I'd have question marks about her.
Are we overlooking Silver Streak, Ruby?
We probably are, because he has so much form in his book, tied in with all the other horses, that isn't quite good enough. But a change of tactics did prove he was good enough in the Christmas hurdle. Having said that, is he going to get to gallop along in front here? No way.
So is it Honeysuckle for you still?
Yeah, I think so. And with the rain after falling, ground will be a bit slower. Yeah, I think it'll turn into a proper test of stamina. And Sheila will stay him up.
It'll be Epatant for me. I'm banking on her bouncing back. Nick, what do you think?
I'm for Goshen. I think he will dominate this race. I appreciate everything Ruby has said, but I think if they're trying to go as fast as him, they're more likely to sacrifice their own chances than they are his. So he'll do for me. Just 1 point on Silver Streak. He will be without the top of the ground that he really wants. The faster the ground, the better for him. I'm sure of that. And he'll be without his regular rider. Adam Wedge misses the festival, of course, because of that injury he picked up last week. A big ride for Tom O'Brien.
Yes, that rain is a negative for Silver Streak. Great to have the big race of the first day where we all have different opinions. It means it's going to be a proper championship race. Let's move on to the opening race of the day. This is the Sky Bet Supreme Novices Hurdle. We've already told you, just the eight runners. The smallest race field, I think, in its history. Appreciate it, the 11-8 favourite ahead of Metier at 5-1. Let's start by looking at Appreciated. Two bits of evidence, Nick, both of them from Leopardstown.
You wonder when you look at the first victory at Leopardstown, when he beat most of this field, why people are trying to talk down his chances, because he was just so dominant. And you look at the horses in behind and you think, well, how can a horse like Bally Adam, for example, reverse the form with him tomorrow? Well, look at the subsequent run and I think you start to have a few more straws at which to clutch, because this was nowhere near as impressive. The pace was not electric, the time wasn't great, and he was judiciously ridden. I thought more judiciously ridden than one or two in behind, particularly Bally Adam, who I think, with the ground drying a little and with the potential for a bit more improvement, might close the gap and by some way.
Yes, I think Bally Adam was unfortunate. He made a mistake at the last. The rain might have helped Appreciate It, though, Ruby. And isn't he exactly the kind of horse that you need? A strong stayer at 2 miles for the Supreme?
Yeah, he is, Lydia. I think the Appreciated we saw at Christmas, that quickened up well to win the Grade 1 on the 27th of December, will be really hard to beat here. The one we saw at the Dublin Racing Festival might just be a little vulnerable. I don't think he was as good in February as he was at Christmas. I saw him this morning, Paul Townend rode him, and he looks really well. Paul was delighted with him. He's in great form. But I just think this is a different race. I do think the biggest plus for him is For Pleasure running. I think For Pleasure is going to jump out. We saw him in the Betfair Hurdle, the gallop he went there. If he tows Appreciated along, that will suit Appreciated. I'm not sure he's a real front runner, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I take that point. I think For Pleasure is too good to ignore as well, Nick, isn't he? So this is going to be a proper pace that he's going to be taking to the Supreme Field.
He's rated 144. For Pleasure, so he's got a comparable rating to two-thirds of this field. So I would imagine, Ruby, as we watch For Pleasure dominate his field in the trial back here in November, jockeys will be very mindful not to give him too much rope. He could yet be in front between two out and the last.
Yes, I mean, he could well be there. And what did you make of his run in the Betfair Hurdle, though, Nick? I mean, it was a lesser performance than this one.
I mean, he did set off like a scalded cat in the Betfair Hurdle, a completely different type of race, different rhythm. He'd been off a long time, don't forget, as well. And it's quite feasible going off that hard in the Betfair Hurdle. He just needed the run a shade, and that might have brought him forward. Who knows? But in a small field like this, a track he's won before, his love of going left-handed and probably being kept interested like Cheltenham does, he's probably going to run quite a bold race. I don't think he's going to win, but I think he'll tow him a long way.
Let's move on to Metier, shall we? He's the one, the Grade 1 Tolworth. And Nick, is he a soft ground horse? Do you buy that?
I don't know. That's the point. You just don't know. All his hurdling form has been achieved in soft ground. Most of his flat form was achieved on soft ground as well. He was clearly a smart flat horse, but has improved over hurdles. What he does have, and what his pedigree suggests he should have, is a bit of basic boot, a bit of speed, and that's often what you need in this race. He's probably the fastest horse in here.
I don't think it's going to be too quick to compromise him. I think his flat form tells you that, and I think that whilst he does look very good, and maybe the rivals here just couldn't cope with this ground, he's also got some toes you just mentioned. I think he's too big personally at fives.
He's a good horse. He's a very good horse. I'm pretty sure he's the fastest horse in the race. What sort of form is he in? What sort of form is the stable in? Well, signs of a revival the last 2 or 3 weeks for sure.
Minimal, though. I mean, it isn't the kind of form that you want to be in coming into the festival, is it? If we're being fair.
But the good ones have run well. I think that's the key. And I that's probably why he's 4 or 5 to 1 and not 3 to 1, 7 to 2.
It probably is. It probably is. Big player, I think. Let's move on to another one of the British-based players for the Supreme, and that is Soaring Glory. He's the winner of the Betfair Hurdle last time out, but in the early part of this season, he had some jumping issues. He wasn't getting it right. We see that most noticeably at Wetherby earlier on.
Yeah, and this is a horse who looked very, very good first out of the season, didn't he, beating Brave Man's Game, and the jumping just wasn't good at Wetherby before. He sort of took a liberty there, Ruby. I think you're back with us. Soaring Glory earlier in the year, he was just a bit lackadaisical, but he seems to have sharpened his act up a little bit.
He does, Nick. I watched him in the Betfair Hurdle and watched him closely, and when he got to the front, actually, two out, he had a little shimmy around going to it, and the same again at the last. He had a look like a horse who maybe got in a fright at some stage in the fall, and Wetherby would suggest that, but he probably is open to more improvement. But for stats people, I would worry about the stats of Betfair winners coming to the Cheltenham Festival.
Yeah, Ruby has been saying this all season on Road to Cheltenham. We've got Get Me Out of Here, Kalashnikov, My Ten to Yours, all of whom won the Betfair Hurdle, and from higher marks than Soaring Glory. They all finished second in this Supreme. Most notably, I think, they didn't really upgrade their form from the Betfair Hurdle to the Supreme. So we're talking about a horse that is a lesser horse at this stage in the career than those three, and may not, if past form is anything to go by, improve his run. The thing he does have to help him, though, Ruby, is first-time cheek pieces. You mentioned how he was in his last two hurdles at Newbury. Those cheek pieces are going to help him.
They will, Lydia, and you'd have to say the experience of that Betfair Hurdle is really going to stand to him in a smaller field here. He's going to find it so easy. I can't see for pleasure going the same gallop on this slower ground than they had in Newbury, and Soaring Glory is going to find himself going quite easily. But I think the one we could be overlooking is Blue Lord. Nick mentioned Appreciated in Leopardstown in the ride Paul Townend gave him. Blue Lord, who'd been very free behind Bob Olinger in the Lawler's Hotel Hurdle at Naas. Brian Cooper sat him in at the Dublin Racing Festival in that novice hurdle to get him to switch off, and he came home really well. Now, he came from a pretty much impossible position to finish third, and I think him ridden closer to the pace, not giving Appreciated such a head start, really, definitely makes him a player, definitely an each way player at 10 to 1.
Ruby, Blue Lord just keeps flashing his ability, doesn't he? He keeps flashing his brilliance, but is he going to drop his head and allow Daryl Jacob to ride a race on him? That's the key for me. Whatever trip he runs over, whoever he's running, is he mentally mature enough now to drop his head and switch off?
I think he is, and I think For Pleasure will definitely help that. I think a really strong gallop will suit Blue Lord, and he'll be, Daryl will be able to get him to switch off. And look, what are you thinking? I'd say switched off just behind Appreciated, and I can see Appreciated being very forward.
Yeah, I agree. I think it'll be just behind Grim Charlie as well, probably towards the four, just behind For Pleasure. Right, so that is the Sky Bet Supreme. Let's move on to the Sporting Like Arkell. Obviously, this race has been dealt something of a blow with the departure of Enogamine. That means that Willie Mullins is relying on Franco Deport, the mount of Paul Townend, an 11-1 shot. Shishkin, though, is the favourite at 8-15. But we're going to start by talking about All Mankind, first of all, Nick. And this is his performance in the Kingmaker. Lots of people have crabbed this for the way in which he jumped. He's not fluent at quite a few fences on the way round. Also in the early stages, he's a bit sort of sluggish, and it takes a while for him to get really rolling, and there's a significant mistake at the second last.
I think the ground, well, I know the ground was really not particularly nice this day at Warwick for Kingmaker Chase Day. Very gluey, difficult to jump out of, but he did well the five down the back. He wasn't quite as exuberant as he had been at Sandown, and I think it was excusable that perhaps at the second last he might have just been feeling it a bit and getting a little bit jaded. They'll have wanted to have left a little bit to work on off the back of this, and I think beating the rejuvenated Sky Pirate by the length of ground that he did was still a notable effort in terms of form. You just worry a little bit that this might have taken a bit out of him, Lydia.
But he has been helped, surely, by the departure of Enogamine. It's a much more straightforward performance, isn't it, for Harry Skelton?
Massively, massively. I still think, you know, with All Mankind going All Mankind's pace over the first four fences in this Arkell on the old course, that will still be a culture shock to all the horses in this race. Even Shishkin, who's one of Supreme Novices, I think it will even be a culture shock for him. Shishkin, though, is so good, he ought to be able to cope with it.
Let's take a look at how good Shishkin is, and we can show you a split-scene comparison between the Wayward Lad and the Desert Orchid, held at Kempton on the same day, 27th of December, and we show it to you from the home turn, because Altior, Nubi Negra and Shishkin all pretty much arrive at the third fast at the same time, but it's what Shishkin does comparatively from there to the line that is so impressive.
It's absolutely unbelievable what Shishkin does. And you think as well, one, he's not really being put under any meaningful pressure by his rider. He's doing it all in hand. And secondly, the horse he's beating in the Wayward Lad Novices Chase, Tamarok Dumata, is no mean animal and has absolutely bolted up in the Pendle Novices Chase at the same track in the last 3 weeks. So the form is good, if not spectacular. The manner of the victory is striking, and the time, you see what he's doing relative to Nubi Negra, is absolutely brilliant. So it's folly to attempt to pick holes in Shishkin. You can try and imagine horses at bigger prices outrunning their odds, but I think that's all you can meaningfully do as we head back to Ruby, who has one of the most important riders of the week with him now.
Yeah, he most certainly is, Nick. I'm joined by Paul Townend here beside me. And the first thing he said when he got to me was, no Altior. You're looking ahead to Wednesday's Dex already, Paul.
Yeah, well, I just had my agent on the phone, so it was fresh in my mind. But yeah, as you say, we've chosen to get over first.
Yeah, obviously the first tomorrow is appreciated. He looked in great form this morning. Small field, that must make things a little bit more comfortable for you.
Yeah, it won't inconvenience him anyway, and I don't think a big field would have, because he's fairly straightforward in what we do with him and how to ride him. So yeah, look, it's I suppose it's small fields for the first day in the majority of races, and we have a strong book of rides, so we just need a bit of luck.
It's a while since you've ridden Franco de Porcia. I haven't ridden him since he won his beginner's chase in Turles. He runs in the arc, he'll obviously know Enner Gourmet. He's a bit defined, isn't he?
He does with Shishkin and all mankind. So I think he's a good ride to have in the race, and he'll be doing his best work at the end.
He picked up the ride on Charge because no Patrick Mullins in the champion earlier. Probably could have ridden Saladier as well. Each way chances is all either of them have, really.
Realistically, yeah, probably. Charge wants it as dry as it'll be. But he has course form. He ran well here last year. It's hard to see him turning the form around with last year's winner, though.
And you're keeping the ride in Concertisti. You've won twice on her this year. Any worries about her? 2.5 miles. It was 2 miles here last year.
Yeah, but look, her form this year has been rock solid at home. She acts here, so I'm looking forward to riding her. Delighted to get the ride on her, and definitely rather be on her than looking at her.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. And obviously, look, there is huge rides for you throughout the week. And on Wednesday, you have that ride on Shakhampur Swaw in the champion chase. He went wrong here in the morning of the race. He's looked brilliant this season. Do you think Cheltenham holds any issues for him?
I can't find a fault in him that Cheltenham will expose anyway. Yeah, I'm just really, really looking forward to him, and everything crossed that we can get down to the start line this year.
With a bit of luck, you ride Monkfish about an hour before you're going to ride Shakhampur Swaw. He's been faultless this season. I think nearly better at 2.5 than he was at 3 miles. He obviously won the Albert Bartlett. Would you concur with that, or am I just dreaming?
Look, you couldn't pick holes in his 2.5 performance in Leopardstown, but he had the experience of a run over 3 miles as well going there. So I think he's learning every day he goes to school, and you know, I'd put it down to that as much as anything.
You've gone for Kilcrut in the bumper. You obviously could have ridden Sir Gerhard as well. Was that a difficult decision for you?
Yeah, it wasn't easy. I suppose that changed a lot in the space of about a week, going from not being able to ride either of them to having to pick between them. So on the basis of everything, I could only ride one, and I've gone with Kilcrut. Happy with him at home, sat in him a couple of mornings, and you know, what he'd done in Leopardstown looked a bit special, and his run before that was very good as well.
You've plenty of chances on Thursday, but I think, just out of my own memory, it's probably your weakest day. But Friday, it's all about one horse, one race, album photo, the Gold Cup. Are you parking it in the back of your mind? Is it always there? Are you thinking about it, looking forward to it?
It's at the back of my mind, but it's still in there. I suppose, isn't it a brilliant bullet to have to fire at the end of the week? And you know, I couldn't be happier with him. Wouldn't spot him for anything in the race, and again, we'll need a bit of luck, but there's a lot of racing to be done before he comes around, and we can't just focus on him.
No, you can't. And Willie walked off the stand. He wasn't that impressed with him in Tramore that day. Subsequently, he was. What was your own feeling riding him?
I was a bit the same. I was just waiting for him to kick into gear. But when I went back in and analysed it myself, the horse that made the running that day, you know, I'd ridden Shakhampur Swaw behind him in Cork earlier in the year, and that balanced up the speed that horse can go. He couldn't go out in the last circuit. And we pulled 19 lengths clear of Acapella Bourgeois, who's franked that farm since, from the road crossing up in Tremor, and that takes a bit of doing. So when I analysed it afterwards, I was happier with him, and it definitely, sitting on him since then at home, it's woken him up as well.
You have a couple of other interesting rides on Friday. As you said, obviously Kilcrook came about because of Noel Patrick, but Billaway and the Fox Hunters, something no professional's ever done before. You're going to get a go on it. I think he could be one of your strongest rides this week.
I think so too. It's obviously one I hadn't focused on until the news of Patrick came through, but yeah, last year's winner, just, you know, if he performs like he did last year, he'll take a bit of beating, but he has to leave a poor run behind him. And you know, Billaway is a consistent horse in them hunters chases at home, and I think he sets the standard in consistency, at least.
I used to always trot out the same line here every year, that one winner and to leave in one piece would do me, knowing it was absolute waffle in the old back of my own mind. What would you take now? And don't give me the waffle I always give.
Yeah, well, I'm going to give it to you. I tell you, this time last year, now the bumper was never as important. So, you know, it's so important to get one here. This week can make and break your season. Things are going great at home, but, you know, this is the week that it counts. And yeah, I'll be a happy man if I get one on the board.
Best of luck. I think you will.
Thanks.
And well done, Paul, for not sidestepping those questions from Ruby Walsh. We wish him a safe and successful week. Right, we need to pick up with our Arkle preview. Let's pick up with Shishkin again. We've talked about his form over fences. Let's remind ourselves how he ran in the Supreme, because I've been to quite a few preview shows via Zoom, of course, Nick, and people have been crabbing the way he's come down the hill.
Well, they must be seeing something I didn't. So he looked to come down the hill okay to me. But one thing you know about this horse is that he finishes off his races so strongly. And he'd have had every excuse. If you look at him here, he'd have had every excuse not only to duck it when he lost his position there, and it was through no fault of his own, but also when Asterion Falange tried to wipe out the whole field, for him not really to get back into it. But to get back into it was one thing. To overhaul Abracadabra and then win going away was quite another. Look at the position he's in now, Lydia. Mm. It's not his fault he's parked out there.
Is it partly possible, though, that he got back on terms because of what Asterion Falange did to the field 3 out and 2 out?
Maybe, but that's not done him any favours either, I don't think.
No.
I think you'd have to read this in a very, very critical way to think that this was anything other than an outstanding performance from a novice
check,
hurdler.
Check out Captain McGuinness, second from the
yes,
left
I'd
there,
like to
because
do that.
This is where he has brought down Elixir Danny. Oh. Just gives him no chance.
And so unlucky. Captain Guinness was going, you could argue, just about as well as Shishkin at the time. And if there's one horse I will back in the Arkle, it's Captain Guinness. Do I really, in my heart of hearts, think he can beat Shishkin? I'm not sure I do. But he's run two smashing races behind Enegumen the last twice. We know he's a quality horse. I think the better the ground, the better his chance. And fundamentally, he's a horse with a good jumping technique. I just think he's had one or two aberrations in his career. Just hope his headstrong tendency doesn't lead to one of those.
Yeah, we saw that at the Supreme last year. He's been better, though, this year, and he was putting it up to Enegumen when he fell 2 out last time out. It was a much better performance than when well beaten by that horse the previous time. Just a quick question about Franco Deport. Are they going to go hard enough for him to pick up the pieces like he did in the Racing Post Novices Chase?
Yeah, it'll definitely be a culture shock for him, I think. I mean, it worked for him. He just about managed to keep tabs on them when they went an electric gallop in that race. But I just wonder whether he'll quite be slick enough for this test. But we know someone who's going to be able to tell us.
Yeah, we do. Let's go and join Willie Mullins. He's live now with Ruby.
Yes, Willie, Lydia is just asking, do you think Franco Deport, she wants to know if Franco Deport be sharp enough to keep open tomorrow's Arca?
Oh, hadn't thought of that. 10 minutes of rain last night brings the ground right around to him, I think, and that's going to be a big, it's going to be a big plus for him, you know, all that rain we had last night.
He'll be coming from well off the pace, but obviously the race for tomorrow starts with a bang, and I know the answers to all these questions we're going to ask you. I've been discussing them with you for weeks, but appreciated. Did you always think he was a 2-miler?
No, I thought he was going to be a 2.5, 3-mile horse. He just jumps so well, and you know, he put it together. Maybe he's just learning as well, but we'll might have this conversation the following morning and say, you know what, I was right. But anyhow, we're here. He's won 2 grade 1s, I think, over 2 miles, so where else can we go?
Do you think Blue Lord can get closer to him than his Leopardstown run?
I think so. Blue Lord's improving with every run. He was very green the first day he won. We went up in trip. He'd learned so much that we're coming back in trip now, and I'm very happy with him.
You have a couple of runners in the champion hurdle, and look, the two of Riches, Sharjah and Saldy, are probably have to improve a bit on what they've done this season, but James de Burle is an unknown.
He is. He's top class form in France. This rain is going to suit him as well. When I walked the track yesterday, I said that probably rules him out of having a real good chance, but he's back in now again with all that rain.
He is, and obviously as the car goes on, you've concertista in the Mayor's Hurdle. It's a race you've farmed down the years. Could you put her on a par with some of the mares you've won it with?
Well, I mean, she came here, her first run over hurdles, I think, was just beating a short header ahead in the Mayor's Novice. Came back here last year and won the Mayor's Novice by whatever it was, 10, 15 lengths. And she seems to love this place. She has the ability to be as good as any of the other good mares, but she has to improve.
And in the Boodles, Fred Winter, you've Saint San and Humidor. I know you studied the handicaps intensely. Did you think they were on good marks?
I do. I think we have a better chance there than going for the Triumph. So I'm happy to... Both horses, I think, on this ground, once again, you know, the rain... That was really what I was worried about. Would the ground be too fast for them by Friday? But now they've got their ground. Shouldn't be any excuse.
And you've won in the last Lord Royal. He's still a maiden over fences. Can he improve enough?
That's going to be hard for Lord Royal. He's a horse that's a natural jumper. He's disimproved after an initial early run. Looking at him at home, you'd think, you know, this National Hunt Chase is ideal for him. But the fact that he's still a maiden... is a little worry. He's just one I'd probably be looking at and hoping rather than backing.
Well, if we were to discuss all the horses, we'd be here till about 3:30 this afternoon. But just touching on the two big ones, Shaq and Pourceau and Album Photo, have you been happy with their preparations this year? Shaq has had one run more than he had coming here last year.
Yes, I am. Sorry to hear Altior is out for Nicky Henderson. But Shaq is in good order, so hopefully we don't have any mishaps like last year. And Album Photo seems in great form. You know, he loves his track, so the rain is going to be a help, slow down the ground a little bit. But all is well with the two horses.
All is well is right, and I wish you the best of luck for the week, and thanks a million for stopping to talk to us.
Thanks, Ruby. Cheers.
Cheers.
Bye.
We're going to have to watch that, Ruby, Nick. He's thrown me under the bus.
Absolutely,
he's turned into
did
a
you
stats man. He did.
Absolutely did you, and it was me that said it as well. So I'm very happy for you to take all the bullets for me, Lydia. That's not a problem at all. And I never had Ruby down as a trends man either, all that Betfair hurdle nonsense.
I know.
I have to sort that out.
I know, he's been sticking to that all season as well, despite pointing out the flaws. I pointed them out before. Anyway, let's wrap up the first day, shall we? The Close Brothers Mares Hurdle. Do you think, Nick, this is as one-sided as the betting has it?
No, I don't think it's a two-horse race either.
No.
So it's been put forward as a two-horse race between Concertista and Roxana. I think Roxana's got a better chance than the Relativity in her price and Concertista's. And I actually think there's other horses in the field that aren't that far behind them. Dame de Compagnie's one. Black Tears is the one that I'm quite interested in. I think it's had a better preparation than she had for the race last year. Had a lovely confidence booster last time. Jack Kennedy seems to suit her down to a T. She needs delivering very late. And I think that was the issue in the Coral Cup last year when Dame de Compagnie came and beat her. Not too far off them at all on ratings, the ones in behind. And I just don't see it as a two-horse race, even though Concertista was brilliant here last year.
I totally agree. Right, how about the Sandvesting National Hunt Challenge Cup Novices Chase? No Royale Pagay. They decided to go for gold.
Yeah.
But we do unexpectedly have Next Destination.
Yeah, we do. Paul Nicholls straight away, as soon as the Royal Pagay news was announced, he said Next Destination wouldn't take on Monkfish, but would come here. Probably the right call if you're going to play the percentages. I still don't think he's going to beat Galvin. Boring selection though it is. I worried about whether he might stay the trip when he came here over 3 miles at the showcase meeting. He hit the line so hard that day. He's been laid away for it ever since. They immediately said this was the plan. There's been no deviation, no hesitation, no repetition. This was the plan for Galvin. And I looked at his pedigree yesterday. He's down one over 3.5 miles. I think he's the likeliest winner.
Any view on the Boodles, Fred Winter?
Busselton, mild view, but no more than that.
First time cheek pieces on Busselton, which I thought was very interesting. So that's the end of our first day. We're going to be moving on to the Thursday next.
At Racing TV, 100% of our profits go back into racing. Thank you for supporting the sport that we all know and love.
Let's go straight out onto the track and join Ruby. He's got Rachel Blackmore.
Yes, Lydia, Rachel has come to join me here. Now, Rachel, we are, as I said to Henry, already on the eve of what could be an enormous day for you both. Honeysuckle tomorrow. Are you nervous, excited? Can't wait for it? Want it to go away? How are you feeling?
I think a compilation of all those emotions mixed up in one. At this stage, I just can't wait to kind of get going, and it's great to be over here now. You know, the last few days at home, we just wanted to get over here, and it's nice to be here, and yeah, just can't wait for the day to kick off now tomorrow.
It is so different though. You've been here loads of times before, so have I. It's so quiet here, there's kind of nothing around. You're kind of thinking, what are you going to do for the rest of the day?
Yeah, look, it's completely different. Even walking out, there's not the same crowd down that'll be watching you riding out this morning, and you know, all those things are different. But at the end of the day, when they jump off, it's the racing, and the racing will be the exact same.
Yeah, that's not going to change. I mean, the Champion Hurdle, Goshen, Not So Sleepy, Aspire, Tower, they'll all go forward. But real pace will suit you on Honeysuckle.
It will. You know, I've always kind of rode her quite simply, and I'm not going to complicate it again tomorrow. I think we'll just be riding her very simple, and you know, they'll go on in front of me probably, and if they don't, I'll be there with them, and yeah, we'll just, you know, ride it as we find it.
Exactly, it's about all you can do. There's a couple of rides before it. Irascible, Captain Guinness, we spoke to Henry about them. He's as confident as ever. Would you be as confident?
Yeah, look, Irascible has been running well in Grade 1 company. You know, it's a good race, and, you know, we're hoping he'll run well. Yeah, very excited for Captain Guinness. You know, he was unlucky here last year when he got brought down. Unfortunate to fall in Leopardstown the last day, but he's schooled really, really well since, and he's absolutely bouncing since he came over. Carl Jennings wrote him out this morning, and yeah, he's very, very well.
You have a massive ride in the first race on Wednesday. That is Bob Ollinger. We will be coming to the Wednesday card in a while, folks, for anyone at home. But Bob Ollinger, I'm a huge fan of his. Gaillard de Mesnil, Brave Man's Game. It's a good race.
Yeah, it is. It is, but yeah, look, I couldn't have been more impressed with Bob Ollinger the last day in Naas, and the day he ran in Navan. You know, he's been very good. He's done everything we've asked him to at home. So, yeah, looking forward to getting on with him as well.
Lovely spare in the last as well, Sir Gerhard. I saw you riding him in Willie's last week, so I know you've had a sit on him. What did you think of him?
Yeah, I actually haven't even checked that up yet, so that's news to me. So that's fantastic. Yeah, he's a fabulous horse, isn't he? So yeah, really looking forward to him.
Obviously the Gold Cup Friday, it seems so far away at the moment, but all of a sudden he'll be on top of us. Have you decided what you're riding?
Yeah, so Appaloo Tower for me on Friday.
I thought you had, but I didn't want to say it there in case they dropped you in.
No, that's the way we're leaning now for Friday. So yeah, look, you know, it's a fantastic race. You know, Album Photo is there for us all to beat, and we'll be giving it our best shot.
Did you think, looking at him at Christmas, that the trip brought about a bit of improvement in him when he ran down Kenboy and Mellon?
Yeah, definitely. Look, he was, you know, Kenboy and Mellon weren't stopping, you know what I mean? And he was really powering to the line and beyond it, so I don't think trip will be any problem to him. He's a very relaxed horse, and you know, I think he'll take that in his stride, and you know, he came up the hill at a ferocious speed under me here 1 year, so I hope he can do the same thing again.
Well, I might have been a bit harsh on him, or did he not jump as well in the Ryanair last year as he can?
Yeah, I was never fully happy with him last year in the Ryanair. I could never really get him into a nice rhythm, and you know, I was never, you know, halfway around in a race you're happy or you're not happy, and I was never fully happy last year in the Ryanair, so yeah, I don't know. He was fine after it and everything, but no, he's been very good since, so we're looking forward to him.
Well, it's a big week. You have big rides, and I wish you all the best. We'll talk to you later on. Thanks a million, Rachel, Nick and Lydia.
Doctor confirmed, Rachel Blackmore on Aplutar in the World Child Cheltenham Gold Cup. We're going to move on with day three. We're skipping the Wednesday. We'll come back to that at the end when we've got the declarations and we know more about the field. So on to the Thursday and focus on the Paddy Power Stayers Hurdle. And of course, Paisley Park is the favourite at 15-8, tightened up since the departure of the horse that he'd been vying with all season, Time Hill. Sadly, he misses the festival. Side of Burley, 92, 5-1 and upwards the rest. Paisley Park, Nick, the long distance hurdle at Newbury, quite carefully ridden, still ran a big race after coming back from atrial fibrillation.
And travelled more sweetly throughout than I certainly had anticipated, given how A, long he'd been off, and B, the issue that he'd had after his really listless performance in the Stayers Hurdle last year. It was an excellent performance, and Time Hill was a horse who came here on the up and just outgunned him late with a very good horse in McFabulous in third. I fancy Paisley Park even without Time Hill in the race, and I fancy him even more now.
Yes, yeah, I tend to agree. I think the way in which he won the long walk at Ascot, the problems that he got in on the home turn, I'm just wondering, it's a big ride again for Aidan Coleman. Obviously, he might have had the settler of Epitant on the first day. I mean, he was blaming himself, probably rightly, at Ascot for getting the horse into trouble and thanking the horse for getting him out of it. What do you think of the pressures now that he is outright favourite in this race?
He knows the horse so well. This was his first ever Grade 1 winner as a jockey, a long overdue one. He's now ridden several more. I think he'll ride him with plenty of confidence. I think he can go into the race with confidence as well. I've heard so many, rightly in some ways, point to the run last year, but that was so readily excused, and he's come back with not one, but two excellent efforts. The vibes from the yard are strong. He was imperious as a staying hurdler 2 years ago. I see no reason to believe that he can't win this race. I really don't. And you just hope that there's a nice sustained gallop through the race that will show him at his best. But he's not short of pace. It's just a question of when he produces it in the race. And when he hit the line at Ascot in the long walk hurdle, the ears pricked as though he hadn't really taken as much out of himself as perhaps it looked.
He was impressive in the race 2 years ago. However, if you match up that race with that year's Per Temps finale, Side of Burley isn't that far behind. And he comes trying this Grade 1 this time, having won the Per Temps for the last 2 years.
And we have seen horses who have won the handicap over course and distance at the festival come back in subsequent years and win races at championship level because they're so well suited to the test. Remember Katavatic winning the Grand Annual and coming on and winning the Queen Mother Champion Chase. This horse is a very tough horse. He's got an excellent record here. He too is a horse who can find an even more exaggerated flat spot in his race. I'd say Paisley Park's a slightly quicker horse.
Yeah, maybe. But I think he is adaptable. I think he's shown a bit more adaptability, Side of Burley, this season with wins earlier on over Shorter. And this is a defeat of the Storyteller who reopposes on £3 worst term. It was first time cheek pieces for his first win in the Per Temps, first time blinkers for his second win in the Per Temps. Do you think, Ruby, it might be a first time visor for his first run in the Stayers Hurdle?
Just listening, talking about the pressures on Aidan Coleman there a minute ago, I think without Time Hill there's less pressure because it's going to be an easier race to ride and the opposition are going to be a little bit easier to beat. Sire de Burley, I was disappointed with him at Christmas, there's no doubt about that. I thought he was good in the Liz Mullen when he ran down French Dynamite, but I was disappointed with him in Leopardstown. Flooring Porter beat him that day, and I think he could be the pace angle Nick is looking for Paisley Park. I think Flooring Porter going along in front, he'll go a real good gallop and he'll drag them fast enough, and I think it'll suit Paisley Park. I was probably against them all along because I was a massive Time Hill fan, but I'm afraid without Time Hill I'm in the Paisley Park camp.
There was a bit in this race behind Flooring Porter where Side of Burley is moved up to box in Fury Road. Don't you think that ends up, you know, backfiring as much on the horse that keeps the horse in as the one that's being kept in?
I think it does, but I know and there was a plenty made about the form of the yard right about then as well, and maybe he underperformed on that occasion, but I know his Per Temps form is strong. When you think he beat the Storyteller here last year, I think he's run 2 years ago won't do, last year's run is definitely better, but I still think he has to improve to get up to Paisley Park's level. I know the clock tells you he ran a better time, etc, etc, but still go and do it in a Grade 1, not a handicap, it's a different ballgame.
And how about Flooring Porter himself, Nick? Gavin Cromwell's got a little bit of a worry about the layout of the track.
Yeah, he has. I wanted to ask Ruby about this. Flooring Porter, new course, of course, Thursday, Stayers Hurdle. Gavin Cromwell was saying to me earlier in the week, Ruby, that he's just worried about, he's a horse who's looking for the running rail the whole time. And round here, that's going to pose him with a few problems. How would you approach that if you were riding him?
You're sticking your left hand in if you're Jonathan Moore, but on the landing side of the hurdles, he will be ducking in with him the whole time. It can be, but it wouldn't have mattered whether it was the new or the old, because there's no running rail on either hurdle track here in Cheltenham on the inside. There's a railing onto the wing to guide you to the hurdle, and when you land then, it's open countryside. That could be, he is wayward. You saw him in Leopardstown, even at the back of the last hurdle, how he ducked with Jonathan Moore. Yeah, he'd be an awkward enough ride. He'd be twice as awkward if there were 70,000 people here.
Yeah, well, that is one factor, but of course the horses have been used to no crowds all of this season. Let's talk about Lisnagar Oscar. He won this race last year. He did so when there was a really overly strongly run race, Nick.
It's not impossible it'll be a strongly run race, as Ruby was saying, and he's not to be underestimated. I think this horse could certainly hit the frame again. I don't see him being good enough to beat an on-point Paisley Park, but I certainly think he could hit the frame. We do know he's a strong doer stayer. Any further rain will help him. I don't think his comeback has been too dispiriting at all, and this will be his second run after a breathing operation, and I quite like that as an angle. He's had a run to get used to it now.
Martin Pipe likes that as an angle, doesn't he? This horse had shown as though he was having issues with his breathing when not really finishing off in the West Yorkshire hurdle, the long distance hurdle. Ruby, this was much more encouraging than in the Rendlesham.
It sure was, and I think maybe a stronger gallop in the Rendlesham would have suited him, because if you watch him from the last to the line, how he closes all the way to the line. Now, Nick was alluding to the fact that I'm not into stats earlier. I do believe that their second run after a wind-up is more productive than their first. Is that correct, or that's that wrong? Did I read that wrong somewhere?
I think that's right.
All right, at least they
can... But that's a stat, not a trend.
What's the difference?
Anyway, moving on.
So he could improve again. Really strongly run race will suit him. And he was a surprise winner last year. And to be honest with you, looking at his price, I think he'd be a surprise winner again this year. He's 8-1. Not as big a shock, but he has to improve on his Rendlesham. And you're taking that Windop stat to be one that might improve him.
Let's have another look at the betting. Talk about the horses that might be helping Florian Porter, forcing him through the race. Lil Rockefeller is one, but the key one is surely Vindication. A new player in the race, a horse that we had thought might turn up in the Gold Cup. Instead, he's in the stayers.
Well, he was quite an interesting runner until David Bass started eulogising about his chances in this, and suddenly he was a single-figure price. So there's probably nothing much in the way of value, but if you believe that horses end up in this division rather more by accident than by design, then Vindication is clearly interesting, because he's a 160-plus horse over fences. He seems to have lost his confidence over fences, but he has run good races around Cheltenham before. You know, he ran an excellent race in the Ultima off a huge weight last year. Reproduction of that back over hurdles, he's not going to be too far away.
And Ruby, he helps the race, I think, in terms of making it a strongly run affair. He'll like to be towards the fore, helping to force it. He does go out to his right, though.
Yeah, I was thinking that as well. I just was looking him up here as you were talking about him, because I haven't studied him in the race, but he does go right. And he has to improve. I think, look, I know he's rating, he's 155 over hurdles. There's no way that his last run in Huntington would suggest he's 155 hurdler, his last run over hurdles. So it'll be interesting. I don't know. I'd be watching him.
He's just had the three runs over hurdles. He was switched after his novice hurdling season, switched straight to novice chasing. And of course, David Bass was comparing him to the one and only Big Bucks, and saying that perhaps his unseat in the Hennessy will be similarly foretelling a horse that will do really well as a staying herder. Right, let's move on to the Ryanair Chase, shall we, and have a look at the betting for the other key grade one of the day. And that has Alaho, the 5-1 favourite, Min, last year's winner at 6-1. It's 13-2 and upwards the rest. Let's start with Alaho, shall we? And Ruby, what the run in the Savills Chase, where he was at the fore of the chasing group, he really didn't make much impact in this.
Absolutely none, Lydia. And he looked like he was going pretty much as fast as he was able all the way. For a horse that was quite keen in last year's RSA, he'd been very keen in an Albert Bartlett the year before that. But at Leopardstown, no, he could never bridge the gap. I mean, a Blue Tar was behind him, facing into the back straight, and he's managed to catch the ones in front and beat them, whereas Alaho didn't make any inroads. Now, Willie subsequently went back to Thurles with him, dropped him down in trip, probably started working him a bit harder at home, and he went and beat Ellie May quite impressively. He has his chance, but he's been to two Cheltenham festivals and hasn't managed to deliver yet.
Do you think this is a horse, Ruby, who is now starting to grow up when it matters? That there's always been a massive performance in him, but we just haven't quite seen it yet?
Look, I didn't ask Paul Townham when I interviewed him earlier because I know he's thinking long and hard about it, and he has to pick one of these three horses, and he hadn't made up his mind about it earlier this morning. But when you look at it, if you're Paul Townham, and trying to answer that question, just ask me, Nick. Aloha has won a beginner's chase in a grade two. Melon has won a beginner's chase, and Main has won five grade ones. They have to get up to Min's level, whatever way you're looking.
The counterpoint there, Ruby, could be that Min is 10 years of age. He's the oldest horse in this field. Could he just be feeling his legs compared to some youngsters?
It's funny, I was saying it to you, Lydia, when we were looking back at him for the Dublin Racing Festival, and I couldn't remember where I had saw him making a mistake like he did in Leopardstown. And I went looking again since, and it's actually in the John Durkin with Paul Townend. If you watch him at the last two fences in 2019, he throws the same sort of jumps he did with Patrick Mullins at the Dublin Racing Festival. He has done it before, Min, and he bounced back from it. I think he'd bounce back from that run. I rode him up the other morning. I thought he was in great form. I know he's 10, but he hasn't exactly been at every dogfight either.
No, he hasn't. He has been sparsely campaigned. And here he is winning the Ryanair last year, shutting the door on St Calvados late, and that was quite significant.
It's called race riding.
I was praising it. That was a compliment, Ruby. And I think it might have made the difference because Paul controlled this race and that was the final finishing touch.
It did. Sorry, Nick, to be talking across you. It did, but it was a strongly run race. If you think Min took it off Frodon, it was a really strongly run race. And look, Melon has been second at four festivals, but just finishing second, is that just always going to be Melon's life?
We were asking the same question about Min 2 years ago, weren't we? Min keeps finishing second. Can he ever win one of these big ones?
That was to Altior.
Yeah. Point taken.
It was.
I mean, did Melon... Melon's been slightly maligned on this road, so I know I'm a latecomer to it. I want to... In his defence, last year in the Marsh, he was in front one stride before the line, one stride after the line. It was just on the nod that he was beaten, and I thought he'd won when they passed the post. If he swings along like this, Ruby, doesn't he suddenly just become an interesting horse again? He comes alive at Cheltenham after all.
Yeah, he does, and he looks great. He's not here yet, but he does look well. He does come alive here. But was that the occasion that brought him alive, Nick?
Maybe.
So, I don't know. Maybe it's the track. Can it be just as simple as this track at this time of year?
Cheekpieces going back on, Ruby?
I think they will, Lydia, yeah. I'd imagine they will. If they came off after he ran a big keen in the Savills chase, I wouldn't be surprised if they did. Now, they were put on initially over hurdles over 2 miles, and they went back on over 2.5. Maybe they will. I think it's fascinating. But, look, the point you made about one other horse other than Willie Street was St Calvados. I mean, if he didn't get tightened last year, might he be the value here?
I think so. I think he was slightly unfortunate last year, but he comes here, Nick, after another unfortunate experience at Sandown.
Yeah, although Willie Mullins has got a really strong hand in this race, I think the home team have got a reasonable hand in it. St Calvados ran such a good race last year. He hasn't had a great preparation. I think the Sandown full demise is a blessing in disguise. I think he'd have had a very, very hard race at Sandown behind Native River. In some ways, really quite pleased he didn't finish that race. Weird though it sounds to say, he's back over a more suitable trip. His yard isn't just starting to fire again. They're really firing after a desperate mid part of the season. He's got to have a big chance.
We must bring in also Mr. Fisher, and he ran in the JLT last year behind Sam Crowe and Melon. I must say, I did feel that Sam Crowe and Melon were being terribly polite to each other in the closing stages and just allowing each other to go first and the others to pick up the pieces. Mr. Fisher was a long, long way back, Ruby. Presumably on the basis of the Peterborough, he's going to be ridden a bit closer to the action.
Yeah, I think Mr. Fisher, Lydia, I think we might have highlighted it earlier in the year too. He actually got caught in a bit of a pocket when they raced away from the stands here last year and got dragged out of the race and was always playing catch-up. Now, that can happen, and it's going to happen plenty of times this week as well. He gets stuck behind one horse that's not going forward and it just drags you out of the race. So I think he can improve, Mr. Fisher, but I keep hearing him say he wants better ground. I watched him winning a dipper here in January 1 year, but yet Nicky Henderson and Nico de Boinville keep saying he wants better ground. And are we going to have that by Thursday? Who knows?
I think it'd be fine in the ground. What do you think, Nick?
Yeah, I guess so. I think it'll probably be good to soft on Thursday if you were going to have a bet. The forecast is unpredictable. I know the connections, as Ruby was saying, he'd say he wants better ground. But I worry if it was really slick ground on Thursday, I'd worry they might just take him out of his comfort zone a little bit. That would be my slight concern. I fancy more the others more, and Imperial Aura would be the top of my list.
Well, let's take a look at Imperial Aura, shall we? Of course, he won in really good style in the Novices Handicap Chase at the festival last year. That's a certain galvan behind him.
Yeah, I took a positive view of this race. I think most people did. It's worked out very well. Imperial Aura is the second time he'd shown really good form here at Cheltenham. He's just a very uncomplicated, straightforward horse. I'm certainly not going to hold Kempton Park against him. That was a weird aberration. I just don't think he saw the fence.
Yeah, he unseats at the second. And Ruby, Kim Bailey was saying, you know, he hasn't fallen. It was just an aberration. He's had a lot of schooling since. It's not on the front of his mind.
No, I wouldn't particularly bother me either, Lydia, although you did give me a stat about horses who had failed to complete in their previous run coming to the festival, and it was pretty scary, but it just wouldn't bother me.
No, I suppose if you're going to take any of them, an unseat is probably the one that you would most likely take of all of them. He's interesting, Imperial Aura. He's not your typical type for this race, though, Nick. He hasn't got that grade one success, that grade one form line behind him.
Do you need to be? I've always wondered in the Ryanair whether you need to be the 2 mile side of 2.5 or the 3 mile side of it to be coming out on top. And you need to have a bit of pace, that's for sure.
Go on, Ruby.
I would be always on the 2.5, 2.5 chases here. I much preferred horses that were going up in trip rather than ones that were coming down.
Interesting. Yeah.
I got caught out several times, especially in the November and December handicaps, riding horses who had RSA form or 3 mile chase form. They would just got so outpaced it wasn't funny. I was always out for one on a horse going up rather than coming down.
Interesting, yeah.
I quite like Fakadidare's on that profile as well. He's went over 2.5 miles. He's going up in trip and he showed more verve behind Shaka Baswar over 2 mile last time. So that is the Ryanair. Let's move on to the Marsh, shall we? And Envoi Alain tops this market, of course, Nick. And he has been very, very good, very professional at his fences. He seems to take them in his stride.
Lots of admirable horses in this race, but I don't really want to spend too much time talking about it because I think Envoi Alain is simply going to win. I think he is the likeliest winner of the week and I'd see no flaw in him. He's a horse of amazing scope, apparently great intelligence, adaptability as regards ground. I don't think any distance really poses much of a threat to him. What more can you say? The only issue is whether a late switch of yards is going to impinge significantly on his preparation. But look at him there, just shimmying round fallers and avoiding the loose horses and just getting on with the job. He's the whole package.
What's your take, Ruby?
I think that Shishkin, Monkfish and Envoi Alain would all be considerably shorter if you took the titles off the races and just ran them on a Saturday in Cheltenham. I think they're head and shoulders the best horses in the races.
And how straightforward is Envoi Alain? I was interested by, I mean, obviously it's a lovely touch from Henry de Bromhead asking Shanine, his groom, to lead him up. But she's also been talking, I think, on Nick's podcast about him being quirky. That's not something we see from him on the track.
No, we don't. He doesn't look quirky to ride. And I think that race in Punchestown that you were just watching shows you how straightforward and how honest the horse he is. When you see all the loose ones, or the two loose ones, Asterion Fernandes in particular, running across the track and ducking out, Envoi Alain looks bombproof, and he always has from day one. And you watch Jack Kennedy riding him, how little he has to do to correct Envoi Alain to jump. He doesn't do anything. The horse just does it himself. I don't know, is he quirky? He just looks perfect to me.
Just a plug for Brian Galt, who is responsible for galtstats.com and all the money that he raises for the UK and Irish Injured Jockeys Fund. And he's got a stat here that in the last 24 festivals, 22 of 48 odds-on shots were beaten. 6 odds-on shots last year, Benny Dadieu carefully selected, Defi Desoy, Tiger Roll, Paisley Park. Only Envoi Alain dodged that. I just direct you towards galtstats.com because it's a good website. It can provide you with some stats and I'm sure Ruby would enjoy it. Chatham Street Lad or Shan Blue, which is the biggest danger, Nick?
Shan Blue, I think. I mean, if you believe Chatham Street's Lad win here at Christmas time, then maybe it's him. But that still was a freak out performance and I'm inclined to take it as an aberration rather than a real sign of what he's likely to do. Shan Blue, I thought this was a good performance beating the big breakaway in the Auto Star Novices Chase at Kempton. And I think you can make some excuses for his effort in the Scilly Isles as well, where the ground was very, very testing and he probably had a little bit too much use made of him.
Yeah, I think he did. I think he was unfortunate to be reeled in by Sporting John on that occasion. Chatham Street lad, a bit of a freak, Ruby?
Yeah, a good performance in a handicap, Lydia. Had plenty of runs. He'd be a popular winner. There'd be no more popular trainer to train one here than Michael Winters. But I think he has to improve, Lydia. You know my take on handicap marks.
The other thing, Ruby, is that, you know, Chatham Street lad, I know he won, but he can bulldoze them. And that you only get away with it so many times, don't you?
It eventually catches up on most horses, Nick. But having said that, I watched him in Ferryhouse the last day, or I think it was Ferryhouse's last run. Thought he jumped reasonably well, yeah.
He looks like he's just dropped into this field, but this will be a different test entirely up against these Grade 1 novices, the likes of Chamblou, who is a Grade 1 winner himself, yeah, in the Quarto Star, and Envoy Alain, who's been given a very similar preparation to his success last year.
Nicky Henderson has been, and we're just finishing off watching Chatham Street lad, but if you haven't seen the end of this movie, I can tell you that he wins by about 5,000 lengths. But he's not going to do that on Thursday. Nicky Henderson's been sort of talking up the chances of Chantry House in this race. Now, he's had some remedial work done, and he came back and won a race he was entitled to win at Wetherby. But he did do it quite well. Would he be one for the forecast? Maybe, I don't know.
Could well be, and Nicky Henderson has been saying that he is strong-handed, strong-suited in the novice chasing division, so that's one of his key runners this week. Let's move on to the final day and start with the Well-Child Cheltenham Gold Cup, shall we, and have a look at the betting for that. And good news that Royal Pagai is taking his chance in this race. He's 8-1, but Albin Foto, the dual winner of this race, is the 5-2 favourite. Ruby, let's talk about the contrasting ways in which he's won these races in 2019 and 2020.
Yeah, Lydia, they were completely different. Obviously, in 2019, you had Native River to add to the pace going along in front. You take him out of the 2020 version and it was run much slower. There just wasn't the same pace. I mean, Elegant Escape could only sit sort of third, fourth in 2019. He made the running in 2020. That tells you the difference in the two races. But Album Photo got the job done on both occasions. Impressively in 2019. Workmanlike in 2020 when he outstayed Santini. Now what they did do in 2020 was get racing a long way from home, and that was probably the winner of the race for Album Photo. He's in great form. We've only seen him once since. That was at Tremor. But that also had to do with the fact that there was no Punchestown. He would have gone there after here last year. He's in great nick. Paul Townend fancies him. Willie Mullins fancies him. And I think he's the one to beat.
Yeah, I think he's clearly the one to beat. That adaptability is key. He jumped better in a steadier run race last year, Nick, than he did in the strongly run race two editions ago. And we're going to get a strongly run one, aren't we?
We should get a strongly run race. Native River, Frodon in the race. And they're not the only two who like to press on and go forward either. There'll be plenty who won't be too far off that speed. I would imagine Native River will win the battle for the speed, wouldn't you, Ruby? Unless Kenboy is really drilled. I wouldn't have thought you want to be going quicker than Native River, would you?
No, but I could still see Briney jumping out to go on Frodon. He has the pace to make it in a Ryanair, Nick, and he got out the gate very quick in the King George and got in front of that race. I could see Frodon leading as they pass behind me after jumping two fences here on Friday. I think Kenboy will be aggressively ridden. I think he'll be kept out a little bit, so he has a bit of room. He likes to go a bit right. He'll be forward and right. Native River in between them. Frodon will be going left. Kenboy will be going right. Native River will be going straight down the middle. And it will be end to end. I think there's no doubt about that.
We know from 2018 when Native River won the Gold Cup that he can go out and dominate it. He was slowly into stride, missed the kick in the 2019 version, and we've already seen him up against Frodon at Aintree this season, where we had all of those fences at the start of that race were taken out because of the low sun. And it was Frodon versus Native River on a line of fences. And Nick, Native River eyeballed Frodon. Frodon got the better jumps in the first two, and eventually Native River won out.
Yeah, I think this is quite significant.
Me too.
Because I understand exactly what Ruby says. Every bit of logic says Frodon is the faster horse. He's got a Ryanair and a King George win to his name. But Native River will serve it to him. And I wonder what Frodon's reaction will be when he has it served up to by a horse who is maybe not fundamentally as fast, but is able to be there and is able to harass him all the way. And I think Native River's constitution enables him to to be fine with that. I'm not sure that Frodon will like it up in from the outset.
I tend to agree with that. What do you think, Ruby?
Yeah, I do, but I think that depends then on what Bryony Frost does. If she allows Native River almost beat her after a mile, it could deflate Frodon a little bit. Whereas if she takes Frodon back so that he still feels it and is encouraged, it mightn't have the same effect. But I still think she'll jump out and want to let him go early for the off chance that Native River doesn't have a going day.
Yeah.
So I think she'll play her cards that way early, but I wouldn't be surprised to see her take back out of a fight after going 6 furlongs with Native River.
I take the point, you know, those different eventualities. Let's move on to Champ, shall we? His jumping wasn't great, or became not so good last season. He fell in the dipper. He was sluggish and lazy early on in the RSA and somehow managed to get back up and win.
Yeah, this is the dipper fall. And Barry Geraghty was obviously under instruction to ride him differently in the dipper and to get on with it and to try and educate him a little more than in the previous races at Newbury. Ruby, what did Champ do wrong there to make him take such a spectacular fall?
He didn't do anything. That was the problem. Barry took him back from memory. Nick, I haven't got a monitor here, but I think Barry went to take him back and Champ didn't listen and just took another straight into and just stepped straight into it. But I think he'd gotten away with a few silly mistakes before Cheltenham, and that was one chance too many. And as bad or crude or rude or harsh as it sounds, I think Champ needed that fall to make him realise that these fences actually have to be respected and you have to jump over them. And I think it has done him the world of good. I think he's jumping. He didn't jump great here for some reason in the RSA last year. He jumped fine on the first circuit. On the second circuit, it looked like he was stuck to the ground. But his jumping in Newbury in the game spirit was pretty good. Really, really good. Not pretty good.
Yeah.
It was really, really good. Is that run over 2 miles going to have an impact on the way he settles in the Gold Cup?
Yeah, sure it could. But I think it'll take the fizz and the energy out of him and should make it a little bit easier for Nico to get him to settle. It'll just be interesting what way he rides him. I mean, Barry Geraghty walked him out a long way back in last year's RSA. He was behind Battle Over Dayun when they jumped the first fence and there was no one else behind him. Can I see Nico going that far back in the Gold Cup? Can you win from that far back in the Gold Cup? You can, because our album photo went by here in 2019 with only one horse behind him. But it'll be interesting to see what Nico does.
What do you think, Nick? Where do you think Nico will be?
I don't think he has to be right out the back. I would be completely confident in Champ's ability to get home, given what he did in the RSA last year, for him to be sitting even just worse than midfield here. And you know he's got the pace to... should have the pace to stick him where he wants. I think... Ruby, do you not think with Champ, we know he's got speed. Do you not think with that RSA last year, do you think there's something about this place that unsettles him in terms of his rhythm a little bit?
No, I think what we know Champ has is pace, not speed. I think he has plenty of pace. That's what he showed us in the game spirit. He was able to jump out and go a really good gallop. He didn't quicken up in the game spirit. He just kept going that pace, really good gallop he was going. That's what he has. That's his strongest point. I think they'll ride him just behind whoever's in front down the inside, be it Frodon or Native River. I think he'll sit 4th, 5th, 6th towards the inside on the freshest of the ground. I don't know, is he just jumping around here? I thought he was pretty good in the dipper till he galloped on at the second last, and I think that fall has really been a help to him.
I give more credence to your rhythm point about Cheltenham, Nick. I think that's exactly what he lacked in the RSA last year, and I think there could be something to it. I certainly think he'll relish the extra trip. Let's talk about Aplutar, shall we, who has emerged as a stayer of the highest order. He did that with the Savills Chase success. Nick, and I know you were keen on him from prior to this.
Yes, I've always felt since this horse won the novice, the sadly late lamented novice handicap chase at this fixture 2 years ago, that he was a Gold Cup type horse rather than a Ryanair or Champion Chase type horse. And I've had many conversations with Henry de Bromhead about it, and I was thrilled to see him upped in distance in this race. There were many reasons offered as to why he won this, but very few of them seemed to be that he was the best horse. I'll go with the fact that he was the best horse. He sometimes has his own way of jumping, but he's almost always efficient and nearly always economical. And I think that'll stand him in really good stead in a furiously run Gold Cup. And I just love the way he saw this race out. He's beating a horse in Kenboy who's very good when on the lead on his day, and an aggressively ridden Mellon, similar comments apply. I don't think that that is form to poke holes in. I think Apalutar is going to stay every yard of this trip, and I still have him as the likeliest winner of this race.
Like you, I think Best Horse won there, and I think that he did well to pick up the leaders. How about you, Ruby?
Yeah, I do. I do think the Best Horse won, and I think the step up in trip definitely will suit him. I thought, as I asked Rachel Blackmore earlier, Lydia, I don't think he was ever gone or jumped in last year's Ryanair. And Min and St. Calvados are good yardsticks. I thought he landed very static at the back of all his fences. I know from talking to Patrick Mullins, he never felt he went too hard on Mellon in that Savills chase, and that they just got away from the rest of the field because of the fall of Manila Indo and Delta Work, and a mistake by Alaho that the three in front got away from the field,
yes,
rather than Kenboy and Mellon quickened away from them. So his thinking of it for a while now has been that Plutar did really well to bridge the gap and get by the two in front. So I know Patrick has been marking it up in his own mind for quite a while now.
Then there's Royal Pagai, and we must talk about him. How worried should we be about the flat track, low jumping angle, Ruby? His most impressive victories have been at Kempton and Haydock this season.
They have. Jumped slightly to his left, I think, in Haydock from memory. But he always looked like he was in the wrong race at Haydock. I mean, Tom Scudamore set off stone last on him. By the time he jumped two fences, he'd passed two-thirds of the field. That's not anyone's ever intention when you walk out last, to be that close to the front after going four furlongs. So I think he has to improve considerably again, though. I think that was a pretty weak renewal of the Peter Marsh. There are plenty of decent horses in it, but I think they're all out of form, and I'm not sure how strong that form is.
I know that the form's not very strong. Venetia Williams will tell you the form's not very strong. Everybody will tell you the form's not very strong. But all he could do is come home in a canter. And I think Ruby's got it absolutely spot on. He's in the wrong race. This horse deserves to be in graded races, top level races. Whether he's good enough at the moment to cut it against these horses remains to be seen. I would love to see him, even if he doesn't win, I would love to see Royal Pagai run a race and finish in the first three or four, just to add another player to this division.
Yeah,
and that's a possibility.
Bidding to become the first novice since Cody Green in 2015 to win the Gold Cup, but he is a very, very experienced novice indeed. Let's move on to the Triumph Hurdle, the JCB Triumph Hurdle, which is the opening race on the last day of the festival. Have a look at the betting for that. We've got Zanahir, the 7-4 favourite, ahead of Tritonic at 2-1, 4-1 and upwards the rest. We can show you a three-way split screen over the course of 2 miles of Fairy House, where Zanahir ran in November. Bally Adam and Advance Virgo also ran over the same course and distance on the same day, and we're going to pause it three times. Two out, and that's as the last of them get to there, and you can see that Zanahir is 5 seconds quicker than the handicap, 11 seconds quicker than Bally Adam. And the thing that Zanahir does, Ruby, in this is that he has gone fast early on and he sustains it all the way to the line.
We did those fractions back in November or December, whenever those races were, and those three split screens, and it was astounding to see how far Zanahir was ahead of the other two races. Now, I know on the day the Royal Bond was quite slowly run and Bally Adam run a dash, but the handicap hurdle looked a really competitive race, and to see how far ahead of them Zanahir was, I fell in love with him that day, and I haven't changed my opinion since, Lydia.
No, that's the strongest form. He wasn't so good next time on the figures, Nick, but he still managed to win a different kind of race, a steadily run one.
Yeah, and you could argue that the stable were having a little bit of a dip at that point as well. This is a spectacularly talented horse. There was a fabulous shot just as they turned for home at Leopardstown, where you just saw him inhale talented rivals in a manner of strides, and you thought, he's a little bit different, isn't he? And this is the shot I'm talking about.
Yeah, he just settles it very, very quickly indeed. And he's got that sort of 2 mile pace. I mean, you can see him as being the kind of horse that if he went onto the flat could actually rate quite highly.
Yeah, and listen, if I fancy Bally Adam for the Supreme Novices, which I do, and your time comparison is borne out, then I have to like Zanahir for the Triumph Hurdle. He's a very fast horse, but one that settles and races very kindly for a horse who of such little relative experience. He's just a very complete racehorse to my eye.
Very much so. And then you've got Tritonic, who Alan King is the highest rated horse that Alan King has brought from the flat to hurdling, and he was very impressive in the Adonis last time, Ruby, and particularly impressive from the last to the line.
Yeah, he was, Lydia. I thought he needed to jump as well as he jumped, to be honest with you. I know he's a really high flat rating, and I know by the time we get to Friday we'll be all the way over there on the new course, that hurdle over there, and there's only two of them in the last 7 furlongs on the Triumph Hurdle track. I know jumping is not as important, but if you miss a couple down the back, you just have to make ground onto the top of the hill. I'd like to see him jump a bit better, Tritonic.
You might have a bit of an idea what this form's worth as well later on, because Castle Loopy's running today at Stratford, is it?
Yeah.
Somewhere, anyway.
Yeah, so we'll have
a short price favourite.
And he absolutely pulverised him from the last. So that's Tritonic. How about Quilixios, Nick? This horse now with Henry de Bromhead was with Gordon Elliott. They've decided to go for the Triumph. I think rightly, I think the course will suit him better.
Well, if Quilixios had been trained by anyone else all season, the narrative surrounding the horse, Ruby, would probably have been a bit different, because all Quilixios has done is won, and all anybody said is, yeah, but he's not as good as Zana here. You fancy if he'd been in different hands, the narrative could have been altogether different.
Yeah, but you fancy if he was in different hands, we'd have already saw a clash between Quilixios and Zana here, because they probably would have met at the Dublin Racing Festival. But look, he's beat St. Sam like Zana here did at Fairy House. Quilixios did it at the Dublin Racing Festival. He's a really strong stayer. I don't know, he's an improving horse. He looks a lovely horse to ride. He stays strongly, but I just think he has to improve a little bit. I think Zana here is the one.
I think the interesting thing about this race, even though it's a small field, too small a field probably, the four horses at the head of the market, they're all discrete form lines, really.
Yes. Yeah. What's too small a field, Nick?
I think if we get any shorter than it is at the moment, Ruby, I think any championship race at the Cheltenham Festival, that, yes, we want quality distilled, but I think there has to be the element of a spectacle to it as well, and an engaging and exciting betting race, and an exciting and engaging spectacle. I think when you're getting down to like 8 in the Supreme, it's not going to happen every year. I think that's kind of tight.
Yeah. Where are all the horses?
Well, it's a very good question. I mean, presumably there are fewer horses coming from Ireland than there might have been because of COVID. Not,
I'd say there's plenty of Irish horses here. I'd say it's a lack of home runners myself. I could be wrong now.
Agree.
When I look at the cards, the Irish are holding up their side of it.
Totally agree with you. Like the first three races tomorrow, Lydia and I mentioned at the top of the show, there are only 12 British trained horses in those first three races, which is a pretty poor return, in all honesty. If you'd spent a ton of money on horses and had them here, you'd be wanting a steward's inquiry. I don't just believe it's because of the owners not wanting to come because they don't want social runners. I think the trainers have got better, Ruby. I think all the trainers in England and Ireland have got better over the last 20-25 years. They're getting more and more efficient. They're looking for opportunities to run horses in handicaps, get handicap marks, and I think that's why you're getting shortish fields in some of these races. But anyway,
right.
I digress.
I'm going to move us on.
Sorry.
Because we need this. You're fine. But
no,
let's
I was loving that argument. I could have said fight with that one, no problem.
Unlucky. Let's move on to the Betway Queen Mother Champion Chase, shall we? Because we have the final declarations. As we told you at the start of the show, sadly, Altior is not among them. He coughed after exercise this morning. Scope Badley is out. Chacun Bossoir, Claire's Emery, Stable Companion is there. First Flow, Guillotine, Notebook, Nubia Negra, Politolog, Rouge Vif, So Royal, and Put the Kettle On. Let's start with Chacun Bossoir, who will be trying Cheltenham for the first time. Ruby, should we be worried about that?
No, I don't think so. Paul Townend spoke to us earlier. He doesn't think so either. Willie Mullins is happy with him. No, I don't. Look, anything can happen in a race, Lydia, but I think he needs bad luck not to win. I think his form is rock solid. I know you think the same. I know you think his is the strongest 2 mile form that has been on offer for a while now, and hopefully we'll get to see him on Wednesday.
Yeah, I thought it was last season. I think it is this season. I like what we learned this season, which is that he can win differently, Nick.
Yeah, this is a question I was now going to pose to Ruby, and you have done already on the road to Cheltenham. Where's he going to kill this race, Ruby? Where's he going to put it to bed? Is Paul Townend going to be confident to sit and hold and hold and hold, or is he just trying to take him apart 2 out?
No, I think he will, Nick. I think he will. After the last Ellerson, I think he will. You're going to have First Flow in front of you, maybe Politolog and whatever else. I think Paul will have the confidence to be cool on this fella and use it whenever he needs to be, and he'll make the right decision, be that he thinks that needs to be done at the third last or at the second last or at the last or halfway up that running. He'll do the right thing.
Okay, one more bit of evidence to show you, and that is Nubia Negra. This is the horse that we don't really know how good he is yet, Ruby. We've only seen him once this season over fences.
Yeah, and it was really good, Lydia. I mean, it's Altior that he beat that day, and we can say Altior's coming down a little bit, but Nubia Negra still trounced him. For me, Leopardstown is a good climb home. You know he climbs up a hill. Kempton is dead flat. Will Noob Negra get up this hill? I don't know.
I did put that to Dan Skelton, his trainer, and Nick, he was quite, I mean, he said, I understand it when that point is put to me about certain horses. I don't get it with Noob Negra.
You do try and shut out the surround sound in the lead up to the Cheltenham Festival, but you can't miss Dan Skelton telling you how good he thinks this horse is, and that you need to believe it and take it at face value. And if that's the case, then maybe he is the most interesting threat to Chacun Pour Soi, given that we're pretty sure we know how good Politologue is, and we're pretty sure we know how good So Royal is, and we've now got a pretty good handle on what First Flow can achieve, which is quite a high standard, but we don't know how he'll act on the track. Noob Negra has been around Cheltenham before and acted on it and run really well in the Fred Winter, so shouldn't be an issue for him. And he's a very interesting runner. Listen, as I said the other day, they like the horse so much they went off and bought the stallion. It's the Remington man all over again, isn't it?
And how about Put the Kettle On, Ruby? You feel that she probably should go for the Mrs. Paddy Power instead. They're sticking to the 2 miles. She's got a great Cheltenham record.
Good for them.
Yeah, and she could be placed now, Lydia. I think without Altior. But look, she's a long way behind Chacun Pour Soi at Christmas. Why does she get closer now?
Thank you, Ruby. And Nick, your last word, Politologue. You've got a wild theory that he could follow up his win from last year.
I think he could. I think he'll run to a rating in the low 170s again, like he has done several times. This track and this test is going to suit him much better than Ascot over an extended 2 miles. I expect him to reverse the form with First Flow. If it all doesn't go right for Chacun Pour Soi, I'd say Politologue's the likeliest winner, boring though it might be.
Right. That's the Road to Cheltenham preview show done with. Ruby, thank you very much for your thoughts. Thanks for all the interviews. Nick, thank you for your thoughts as well. Thank you for watching. Make sure you join us every day this week from 10 a.m. for live coverage of the Cheltenham Festival. Check out the column as well, the Road to Cheltenham column. That's on the website. Thank you for watching. Happy swatting. See you tomorrow morning.